with you later.
Mm-mm.
So yes, we are recording, and any of the information that you get here is just in general for informational purposes. And if you need legal advice or healthcare, please go see your professional contacts. Okay, let's see. Here we go. So we're going to start off with thank you to our sponsors and to Molina Healthcare of Idaho and Yvette in particular. She's been amazing to work with, like I said, and there'll be a drawing of a $25 gift card to, I believe it's Walmart. Is that correct, Yvette? Okay. At the end, you must be present to win. And I think I'm just going to hand it over to you guys. The Molina Healthcare, they're going to go over some of the new programs and also some of the things that are happening in the state of Idaho. So I'm going to stop sharing and give it over to, where's my stop sharing? Did I not share this whole thing?
No, you
Was I
did.
not sharing? Oh, okay. What? They keep changing the layout on there and it's very irritating because just when you think you got it figured out, where do I unshare? Do you see my
I think down at the bottom, if
just,
you click that button again,
oh,
it'll.
here, it's up here. There
Oh,
we
okay.
go.
There
Oh,
you
it was so much pressure.
go.
Okay, Yvette, you can take it. I believe you can share as well.
Okay. All right. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay. All right. Great. So as Kim said, I work with Molina Healthcare of Idaho, and I'm the community engagement specialist for the state. Today with me, I know I have Luisa on the call, and Luisa, if you could go ahead and wave your hand so everybody could see you. And then it looks like I have Anna on the call. Anna, are you on the call? If you are,
I
you could
am.
wait.
Hi, Louis. Hi. Hello,
Yay!
everybody.
Hi, I thought I saw you. Yeah, so today we're here and we're gonna talk with you all
I'm
about
waiting up there for just a minute.
some important information that some changes that have happened in Idaho. So we'll go ahead and my presentation will go over kind of the bigger, broader changes that are happening in 2025. And then Anna, our case manager, is going to go ahead and go over what her role is with Melina. And then we have Luisa, who is one of our sales managers, and she works with our brokers across the state of Idaho. And so she'll be also available to ask kind of general questions. We're asking that once the question and answer session comes on, that they be very general, just because we don't want to accidentally have you share, personal information and violate any kind of HIPAA, concerns. If you would like to meet with us separately, at a different time, please go ahead and post something in the chat. And we can reach out to you and set up a meeting if you'd like, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and try and share my slideshow. I'm going to keep it in where you can kind of see my notes on the side, just because for me, it's easier to still see you all. Or maybe not. Maybe it won't be easier for me. See. Okay, I think I can see it. So is everyone able to see my slideshow?
It's kind of half in, half out, but yes, the most
Okay.
part. Yeah.
Let me, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. All righty
Thank you.
then. Okay, so I'm gonna minimize that. Okay, so as I said, we're gonna talk today about the big change that's happening across Idaho with our duals population. This is happening in Idaho because of some new changes that Idaho Department of Health and Welfare has decided to do. typically in all states that offer the dual program, they open up a contract bid. At that time, everyone, all health plans are invited to come in and participate in that contract bid. As you know, previously it was Blue Cross of Idaho and Molina Healthcare of Idaho that were the contracted health plans in the state that are able to support the duals program. Idaho Department of Health and Welfare went through that kind of, I guess, competitive bid. And we were one of the ones who were selected, and UnitedHealthcare is the other health plan that was selected to go forward as the 2026 official dual plans. Now, with 2025, it's a little different. And I'm going to go over as much details as I can with you on that, so that you can all understand how that might impact you and what kind of decisions you might have to make during 2025 so that you can best support the people that you are caring for. So to start off, we're going to go ahead and go over the Blue Cross transition and how it may impact you, timeline and key dates, and then for members and providers, how you can prepare for those changes. And then lastly, we'll talk about some important contacts and resources. I will also be sharing some important worksheets that Idaho Department of Health and Welfare created, and that will help be a tool for you all in case you do need to make some decisions. And then I'll also be sharing a contact sheet for Molina Healthcare of Idaho. All right, so we're going to go ahead and first we'll talk about how this is going to impact you so that as a member, or excuse me, how this will impact members and how members can make informed choices as we're going through this transition. So the way things look right now, starting June 1st, Blue Cross of Idaho will no longer be providing the IM Plus plan or the MMC plan in the state of Idaho. So for those of you who are either members with those two plans, or if you're supporting a member with those two plans, there are some steps that you may need to take if you are currently with Blue Cross prior to June 1st. So on the member side from this slide, you can see that members who are currently enrolled with the Blue Cross MMCP or IM Plus have the right to remain enrolled with Blue Cross of Idaho until June 1st, 2025. So up until that date, you have the right to remain in Blue Cross if you so choose. We want to make sure that you understand that. And if you are having services that you are needing and you have all that worked out with Blue Cross, that you are able to stay in those and nobody's going to make you change prior to June 1st. The second bullet point is Blue Cross of Idaho IM Plus and MMCP members can enroll in a new health plan anytime prior to June 2025. So what we want to make sure is that people understand that although the cutoff date of service is the last day of May, that you can start that process as early as now. I think IDHW back at the beginning of March started sending out those letters to members to encourage them to start doing that research and start deciding if they would like to be with Molina Healthcare of Idaho or our partner plan, UnitedHealthcare of Idaho. So, like I said, you can be proactive and start making those changes as of now. Effective June 1st, 2025, Blue Cross of Idaho, MMCP, and IM Plus members will be assigned automatically to UHC or UnitedHealthcare IM Plus unless you decide to actively enroll in Molina. We want that to be very clear that if you receive a letter and you choose not to make a decision, whether that be with us or with UnitedHealthcare, you will be auto-enrolled into UnitedHealthcare's IM Plus plan, which takes care of the Medicaid portion, So you don't have to worry about being uninsured. However, it's really important that you understand that if you're in an MMCP plan, you will be changed over automatically to an IM Plus plan with UnitedHealth. So those are two very important things we want you to understand. If you want your Medicare and Medicaid coverage coordinated into one plan, so a lot of you recognize the MMCP coordinated plan, Molina will be the only health plan providing that plan through the end of the year. So if you're currently with an MMCP plan and you really need those services and make use of those services, it's important that you be proactive and you reach out to Molina Healthcare so that we can help you enroll with us and transition so that you can continue to be in an MMCP plan. Come January, UnitedHealthcare will also have an MMCP plan. So then you will have the option, like you do now, to choose between two MMCP providers. But again, if you are currently in a Blue Cross MMCP plan and you want to continue being in an MMCP plan, we recommend that you reach out to a Molina Healthcare representative as soon as possible so that we can start discussing what that strategy looks like, okay? Now we're going to go ahead and talk about the providers. So, providers serving Blue Cross of Idaho members can continue to provide Medicaid covered services to MMCP and IM Plus members until June 2025. So, many of you may be certified family homes. If you are currently certified family homes providing services to Blue Cross of Idaho members, you will also need to start that credentialing with Molina Healthcare if you'd like to continue serving your member who will also be transitioning to Molina Healthcare. Non-contracted providers may enroll with Molina to continue providing those Medicaid covered services under IM Plus and MMCP plan. We do recommend that if you are a provider, that you reach out to us as soon as possible so that we can get that rolling. Contractually, we have an agreement with the state of Idaho, and that is both ourselves and UnitedHealthcare. Excuse me, we made a contractual agreement to ensure that we will continue providing services through this transition period. So there's a 90-day window after June 1st that says during this 90-day window, either a provider or a member may be transitioning. And we understand that there are prior approvals for services available or, in place, and we will honor those for those first 90 days. However, we need those processes to get started as soon as possible because what's happening is there's going to be a large number of providers and members who will be transitioning to both companies, and they're going to have to first make that notice with Idaho Department of Health and Welfare, and then Idaho Health and Welfare will then share that information with us. So there's a whole process, and we want to make sure that people understand that although we're going to try and make this as seamless as possible, both plans do understand and acknowledge that there is going to be some time lapses. And so we want to set your anxiety at ease to let you know that we do have a mechanism in place that will ensure that there are no loss of services for our members. Either plan that they go with. If you're already contracted with Molina, you don't need to do anything at this time. So, say for instance, you have two members that you're providing services to. One is with Molina and one is with Blue Cross. Now you're going to decide to have both people with Molina. You don't have to do anything. If you have one member and they're with Molina already and you're already contracted with Molina, neither of you will have to do anything. You're both okay. There will be no changes made to you. You will not be reassigned. So you're okay there. If you're moving to Molina, your existing services authorization will be transferred to Molina by IDHW. So again, this is kind of reiterating There's going to be a process. Idaho Department of Health and Welfare will send over the information to us, and then we will input it into our systems. And it's all still old school and by manual typing, so it does take a little bit of time. But we're trying to work with everyone and make this as seamless as possible. We also want you all to know that our provider services reps team are scheduling visits to review claims and provider portal questions. So many of you know that our provider portal team works with Availity, and we've gotten really, really good at working with Availity and helping our providers also start working with Availity. So if you need any help on the provider rep side, we ask that you reach out to us as soon as possible so that we can schedule some appointments. If that means assisting you through that enrollment process in Availity, or kind of teaching you how to work through that process while using Availity, we'd be more than happy to do that as well. Currently, Sherry Wheeler's our go-to person, and she's the wizard of Availity. And so she helps out. And we also have Stephanie Sanders, who's cross-training on that as well. Many of you know both of them as we work out in the community. And they're really smart and knowledgeable on these two systems. And we want you to know that as providers, we will be there to help you and make sure that you're able to access those systems and be able to work with you as we go on. So next, we're going to go ahead and talk about how to prepare for the changes and who to contact. For our 2025 options, an enrollment choice form has been mailed out to you. That started on March 1st. And from what I heard, because we were out on road shows when this happened across the state of Idaho, that people were typically receiving those in the mail between March 7th and March 10th. It turns out that the day that they started mailing them out was on a Saturday. So then you had the Sunday where there was no mail service. And so people were receiving them a little later than anticipated. You should have received that from the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare, letting you know that Blue Cross was leaving and that you now had the choice to choose from either Idaho IM Plus plan with Molina Healthcare or United, or Molina Healthcare's MMCP plan. That letter also advises people that if you don't do anything, that you will be auto-assigned into Blue Cross. But if you do want to actively make a choice, that you would need to reach out to Molina. Current Blue Cross of Idaho members who do not choose a plan again will automatically be enrolled into the IM Plus with UnitedHealthcare on June 1st. So effective June 1st, if you don't do anything or your member does not do anything when they go to receive services, they will now be using the UnitedHealthcare plan. That's just, we want everybody to understand and not be caught off guard when you go to receive services. You will start receiving welcome information and welcome kits from UnitedHealthcare, so you should keep an eye out for that if that's what you choose to do. But again, if you choose to come with us, please reach out and we can make sure that you get all those needed informations as well. Blue Cross of Idaho MMCP members who will be transitioning to UHC, it's important that you understand that it is only an IM Plus plan. So it's not going to be the exact same thing that you're receiving from Blue Cross of Idaho. Those Medicaid services through both health plans are basically the same. So I'd say 90% of both plans are going to be the same. It's going to be when you get to the fine details that you'll see differences. And of course, if you are with an MMCP plan, you will see the difference of the plan coordination that we do with an MMCP coordinated plan versus an IM Plus plan. Members who are enrolled with Molina for MMCP or IM Plus will remain enrolled with Molina. So we just want to reassure those of you that are with Molina, you don't have to do anything. Everything will remain the same. And then Molina and UnitedHealthcare will both offer the IM Plus and MMCP products in Idaho starting January 1st, 2026. So let's say you enroll in one of the two health plans. It's not what you were thinking, or it's not working for you. Once open enrollment comes, you are able to make those changes again. So come October, you will have the option to switch to a different health plan provider if that's what you choose. So we just want to make sure that you understand nobody's going to lock you into a health plan. We want to make sure that you're with us and you're happy and that your medical care is taken care of, okay? Next, I'm going to talk about where can you reach out if you want to make changes. Members can reach out and contact the Medicaid transitions teams at IDHW. While we were on the road trips, we were on the road trips with Alex from the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare and her team, Libby and Alex. And they were in the process of training up more of those 211 and IDHW intake, or I apologize, I can't remember what their specific title is, but the people who are taking those phone calls. When they started off, they had two people helping them, and they were getting just inundated with calls and questions. So they've been able to train up more people to help them out with that. They wanted to make sure that the people that are answering your questions have all the information that they need so that they're able to answer with, facts and true information. If you call and you do get the voicemail, please leave a voicemail and they will get back to you. Another way to get a hold of them is to go and send them an email. And on here we have, it's the Idaho Duals at dhw.idaho.gov. And I'll go ahead and put all of this information in the chat for you all. And I will also be sending out those documents from IDHW that can also be tools for you all as you are researching and making these decisions. There's also a website through IDHW, and it's the mmcp.dhw.idaho.gov. That is really, they've really beefed that up. They have all the tools and documents that I'll be sharing on there as well. So if you lose the ones that we send you, you can also just go straight to IDHW's website and find that information on there. Members can contact Molina Healthcare of Idaho using the information. Here's our 1-800 number, so 866-403-8293. You can also reach out to Luisa. Luisa's on the call. Or you can reach out to Chris Miller. Chris Miller is in charge of our in-house advisor team, so they only deal with Molina Healthcare. And Luisa works with our brokers that work out in the community. So you're more than free to reach out to them. I will also have their information on available to you. And members can contact UnitedHealthcare using the information provided as well. And we have their information located on here. I'll also be providing that information. We want to make sure that you understand that, we're all partners in healthcare and we all want to work to support the well-being of the members across Idaho. We want to make sure that you all get into a plan that works for you and that's helping take care of those health needs that you have. So below you can see their number and we'll also include their website. And then if there's any additional questions from providers, you can contact Molina Healthcare of Idaho, and we're also going to be providing our general contact number.
Yes.
Right. So this next slide, I'm not going to go very deep into because we do have Anna on the call. But just very briefly, the difference between the care managers and what the benefits are from a true MMCP plan are going to be very important for you to understand if that's something that you use and need as part of your healthcare that you fully understand. So Molina Healthcare management team can help you get those covered medical services if you're having issues. We want to know that we're there to support you all in accessing that healthcare, help you set up appointments, help find, transportation or identify gaps in care. So again, I'm not going to go too much into too detail on this slide. I'll let Anna go a little deeper. And she'll also discuss how, you can enroll with care management. And here's a picture of our local team. Jenny Norman also works with me a lot out in the community. She works in our population health, and she runs our member advisory committee. And we do invite both members as well as caregivers to join our member advisory committee. I'll also be sharing a flyer on that. We host that twice a year. For 2026, we're going to be bumping that up to four times a year. And we invite you to come. It's a way for you to learn about the different changes. We love having you there because we're able to hear from you what those needs might be. And we're then able to take that information, and as we're improving our plan, we take that feedback and let people know, like, hey, we have this really great benefit that people are trying to access, but guess what? They're having a hard time. How do we make this easier for them? Last year, we had some feedback that included the usage of the Flex Card. Many of you are familiar with our Flex Card, where you can go and buy healthy foods at, your Albertsons or Kroger or Walmart. And we got feedback that people were having some issues with when they were using those. So we were able to, address those from based on that feedback from our members. So it's really important that you all attend, not just so that you can learn, but so that you can help us improve the way we work with you all. For our provider relations teams, we have, Sherry Wheeler. She's a great person. She works out in the community and she loves helping people. We also have Stephanie, and we have Chelsea. Chelsea technically works with our hospital, so she's not out and about as much, but she's a really great person as well. And our newest member is Amanda, and Amanda will work with some of the smaller, agencies and so on. But yeah, our two kind of out and about people tend to be Sherry and Stephanie. All right. So again, just very briefly, I'm going to go over our timeline and key dates. Again, back in December, we were notified that we were awarded the contract for 2026. As of June 2nd is the official day that Blue Cross will no longer be contracted to provide IM Plus or MMCP products. Beginning on June 2nd, UnitedHealthcare will be administering IM Plus, as well as Molina Healthcare will continue to provide IM Plus, and Molina will be the only provider to be providing MMCP until the 31st of December. And then as of June, or excuse me, January 1st, you'll have the two options again, the full two options, which is Molina Healthcare or UnitedHealthcare, and we'll be providing both the IM Plus and MMCP plan at that time. All right, and let's see here. I'm gonna just skip down a bit. Okay, I think the last slide that I want to go over is again just talking about those prior authorizations, especially with us being so close to June 1st. I want to make sure that you all understand that if there are prior authorizations in place, that we are honoring them. Both Molina and UnitedHealthcare are honoring those prior authorizations in place. We do not want to see, like services stop for members because they're in transition. We want you to know that as providers, we are honoring those, and we will backdate that service that's being provided if for some reason there's a hiccup and you're not ready to go on June 1st or May 1st if you start enrolling early and you're eligible May 1st with Molina. We want you to know that we have made that agreement with the state of Idaho that you will be getting paid. So I think that is it for me. Let's see here. I'm gonna go ahead and so I'm gonna take a look at, I'm looking over the at the chat really quick to see if there's any questions that I can answer. If there's a question in here that I can't answer, what I will do is I will either, if there's a team member on the call right now, I will let them address it once their presentation is over. And yeah, just keep putting stuff in the chat and we'll get to you as soon as possible.
Yvette, there is a question in there from a member. We don't have Blue Cross, but billed through Molina on the pass portal, so they don't
Okay.
know what they are.
Well, that's a good question. And I see that, Irvina. So, I'm thinking, we're gonna have to help you switch over to Availity. But if Irvina, if you could please, I don't know if you're comfortable putting in your contact information. If you could please put in your contact information, I will have one of our PRRs reach out to you as soon as they can. Or I can also just send you Sherry or Stephanie's contact information, whatever you prefer. Just go ahead and I'll do my part. And then if you just feel comfortable posting your contact information, I'll grab that as well.
Hey, Yvette,
Thank
what
you.
maybe you can share your email address down here and she could just email you directly. That
That's
you'd
a
be
great
better.
idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did, I don't know if all these little tech stuff works, but I at the very, very top, if you scroll up, I have all of my contact information. And like I said, I'm gonna drop in a couple of documents that have all of our contact information so that you all have access to that. And I will also be sharing it to Kim so she can email out with the certifications. So we'll make sure you all have all of the information that you need to make contact with us, okay?
Perfect.
All right, Anna, I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to you if you're ready.
Yep, sure thing. Hi there, everybody. Thank you so much, Yvette. Let me see if I can share, because we all love PowerPoints, don't we? We love them.
Yes, we do. I do.
Don't we, though? And
Yeah,
we
because you
love
can read as
Zoom.
you're
We
talking. It
love
was, and
Zoom.
the information on that was so great, Yvette. Thank you so much. I learned quite a bit, actually. And so I want to make sure that everybody knows that we it will be on the certificate. So just so you know, it'll be there.
So I'm Anna Verde, RN, supervisor of case management in Idaho and Utah, but in Idaho for the FIDE team, so for the FIDEans, as I have come to call them. I've been here for 6 years, so almost the whole time that Molina has been in Idaho. Oh my goodness! So it's been an interesting ride, right? I mean, there's always fun stuff going on. Here we are in 2025. Case management itself really isn't changing. Hasn't changed too much. We're here to support our members and to make sure that their providers get to the right place as well. So rolling in here, let's see what we've got. Our roles and responsibilities for our case managers here. A case manager, a care manager, they're clinical staff. They're RNs, they're social workers, they're other healthcare licensed professionals. They're responsible for assessing members, for working with members and providers to develop a care plan co and collaborate with an interdisciplinary care team. We have community connectors as well who to assist their non-clinical staff. They serve as an extension of the case manager or care manager or the transition of care coach, which we have those also. Their clinical staff, they're responsible for providing members with tools, support, and that promote knowledge and self-management of their condition as they transition across care settings. That's going from the hospital to a skilled nursing facility, maybe for rehab or longer term care, eventually making it home, having home health services, and then, becoming as independent as they can, again, based on their needs at the time. So you've got that whole team of case managers here in Idaho to assist. Care management, case management, it's a member-centric, holistic approach to member services and support. We collaborate with the member to assess, to plan, to facilitate, to evaluate, and really to empower the member to make knowledgeable choices based off of the information and the resources that are in place, assisting them to give them the resources they need so that they can reach out and set their own appointments, to set their own timelines, to make sure that they're getting the health care that they want to get. We advocate for options and services to meet their medical, behavioral, and social needs of the members and their families. And their families isn't just genetics, right? But it's everybody who's involved. You've got a lot of people that become or are your family. And we want to make sure that those folks are involved as well, too, for sure, in supporting you and your members. Care management by program. I know that kind of touched on the different programs as well. So we have our FIDE. So those are our full Medicare, Medicaid, full covered with Molina. Everybody gets a case manager. Everybody's assigned a case manager. We offer face-to-face. It's a great question, Mark. You would call in on to Molina on call your Molina member services folks, and they will let you know if you've not already had a case manager reach out to you. And I'll get to timelines and how long that takes to happen if you're a brand new, shiny new member, or if you just speak with them annually as well. So call the member service number on the back of your Molina card to find out who your case manager is. Okay. We offer face-to-face case management. Usually only offer that. We're offering that annually, but we can come out and you can meet us in the community, because all of us, all the case managers live in Idaho throughout the entire state. We do have community tech nurse who live in the state of Idaho as well, and our ICT team. That's so an interdisciplinary care team is it's an amalgamation of the case managers, which again are nurses, social workers, other healthcare professionals. We have a medical director, we have our pharmacy director, and our behavioral health director. If needed, we meet weekly to troubleshoot and go over members that may have just a little bit higher needs or have some issues that we need to kind of suss out. And we process that together in order to assist. And the members are invited. They're welcome to come to that ICT meeting if they have one set up, or their case manager will call them afterwards and like kind of have like a call, a talk about an overview of what happened and how that goes through. No, the case manager Kimberly is not listed on the back of the card. You're not going to find our name there. You're going to call the number on the back of the Molina
Gotcha.
card. That's the member services number, and they will then direct you to your assigned case manager. Okay.
Okay, thank you. I thought that was a good question, so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, through member services, you'll find your case manager if they haven't already reached out. So, yeah,
Okay,
for
thanks, Mark, for
sure.
the question.
Yep. And then so on Medicaid Plus, that's again, so that's you have your Medicaid with Molina, and your Medicare is with whomever you have chosen. And they have care specialists that are assigned with extensive healthcare backgrounds. They do telephonic calls mostly. Sometimes they'll do face-to-face. It's kind of dependent. They also have community connectors. They're mostly telephonic as well. And they do also do ICT or the interdisciplinary care team approach to assist if there's complex needs to coordinate too. Oh, excuse me. And our D-SNPers, so those are folks that have full Medicare, because everybody's got full Medicare. So they're full Medicare with us, but then partial Medicaid, which is just that it is covering the 20% that Medicare doesn't cover. And they are all assigned to a case manager here in Idaho as well. It's a telephonic program currently. We do have community connectors assisting that team also, and we do come to ICT as necessary for them too. So, I mean, it's just trying to have an integrated support. You do have a specific assigned case manager that might be on vacation sometimes, but there'll always be somebody available within at least 24 to 48 business hours of having left a message or reached out, is what we hope for, to make sure that we can be there for you. The advantages of case management really is really less fragmented care. We're as member-centric as possible, being there to empower and support our members as much as possible. We're usually using motivational interviewing to empower and encourage self-advocacy, really, because that's what we're trying to do here is to make sure that everybody can be there for themselves advocate for themselves, set things up for themselves, and go forth and conquer. I'm not sure. ITC, Karen, is that a question? Are you seeing the on the PowerPoint, or is that a? Because I see I have ICT. Oh, lots. Yep, met letters. Letters are a Medicare requirement. We're not allowed to not mail you letters. Medicare wants to make sure that you have the knowledge and information that you need to make informed choices. And that requires us to mail a lot of mail. Right on, a lot of acronyms. So the ICT is, again, is the interdisciplinary care team. And it could be just so I can just take that out of there, but I don't mean to use a lot of acronyms. How do I know if my daughter's IM Plus or MMCP? You would call in to member services, or actually, I'm going to bet you that it'll say on your card. And I think that Louisa will have an answer, more better answer to that than I do on there. I don't usually see them on the card myself. Louisa, is there a hint
So,
on their card as to their coverage?
if they are on the IM Plus, with Molina, that is, their card ID numbers will typically be preceded by either 3 or 4 zeros, and it's actually their ID number with these Medicaid as well, with the state of Idaho. So we mimic. If they're on the IM Plus, because this is a managed Medicaid only, we mimic the member's Medicaid ID number with our IM Plus member ID. If they are on the MMCP, or what we call the dual special needs plan, where we combine and integrate the Medicare and Medicaid benefits for that member, our ID numbers will typically start with an 8,000 or 8300 or 8100. So those are just key indication as to what members have, whether they're on the IMP, Medicaid only, or if they're in the MMCP, combining their Medicare and Medicaid benefits into one, right? And then also always feel free to use us as your resource. Use us as, because we, as in the broker side, on the field sales side, our internal sales team, our broker, and our provider services team, they can also check. So when in doubt, you can always check in with us. Whether you check in with my local broker partners or with our internal field sales or the provider services team, they can also check whether or not the member is just on the IM Plus or if they're already on the MMCP program with us. Hopefully that helps.
Thank you. Did that, Cheryl, Pauline, did that answer your question? Thank you, Karen, for the feedback on the acronyms. I will eliminate the acronyms from this and from my mouth, or at least try to. So we're trying to deliver, the right service at the right time at the right place, for the right reason, is really a big thing for case management and assisting our members along the way for sure. We do med rec, so medication reconciliations, just trying to make sure that all the medications are in place, and that the member understands them, taking them correctly. And if they have any questions, getting them answered for them, either through Molina or through our pharmacy, or through their provider as well. And trying to assist with early identification of healthcare issues in any way that we can, and making sure that you're getting to the right resources and support for that, and improving provider engagement as well too, whether that's their a primary care, behavioral health, et cetera, as far as that goes as well. And then just really improving health literacy is an ongoing task of ours, is just to make sure that our members are empowered with the knowledge that they need to advocate for themselves and their healthcare. And that does come with a lot of phone calls. It may not directly be from case management, but from Molina itself, and a lot of letters as well. Which I know they weren't, it was the acronym letters, not the mailing letters, but there are still a lot of letters too. Nope, I can't really see that really. I should shrink it just a squash. I don't see over here. So we expanded in 2025 to a lot more counties throughout. You'll see all the yellow, all the blue, teal were already what we had in place. And all the yellow ones are where we've expanded to. So we're going up in the mountains a little bit more, going out to our folks to be able to be there for everybody, and try to assist as we can. So, and then trying to also then have resources and participating providers in those places too, which is an ongoing process, as Yvette was talking about, as well as just getting everybody on board and get everybody set. Takes a hot minute for sure along the way. So this is everywhere that we are, that Molina is in the state of Idaho now, and will be for at least the next 6 years since we have extended our contract with the state, which is great. We want to be there for you. So extra benefits that we have for our members, we still have acupuncture, chiropractic, dental. Dental is carved out. That is through Molina Smiles, or Idaho Smiles, excuse me, which I think has turned into MCNA. So they were what, but they still have Idaho Smiles in some of their places on their website. There's a fitness benefit. You can go to the gym, go to the Y. Most gyms participate in the fitness benefit. And if you're stuck at home, you can use, we send out, you can get a fitness packet, and you can get that by calling the number on the back of your card and asking for the fitness packet, and they'll set you to the right department to get that set up. We have hearing, which is through Hear USA. Meals are dependent on your coverage as to whether or not you will actually get meals, daily meals or transitional meals. And there is a difference in those, is that if you're on the waiver and you're full waivered, you may qualify for daily meals. If you're FIDE and you are in the hospital and going home, you may qualify for transitional meals, which would be a couple of weeks of just having some food delivered to you while you're recovering from your hospital stay. The personal emergency response system, again, that's dependent on your coverage, as to whether it would be part of your full waiver, or if that's going to be from a different benefit or not. There's some dependencies, right? I mean, if this, then that. If you're in need of those or anything else, you can always call into member services and ask to be connected with your case manager, who'll be happy to help. We do offer, there's podiatry visits. Vision is through VSP. And if you do travel, there is urgent coverage as well. And then we do also have the nation's credit card. You have your food and produce if you qualify for it. And if you want to qualify for it, you would call member services and ask to be evaluated by SSBCI, as well as the over-the-counter and transportation combined monies that are on that account as well. And for anybody who is newly enrolling with Molina, as of the first of any month, just know the notification from the state does not come until at least the 7th of the month. And it didn't come until the 8th this time, which there, so we're already 8 days behind on knowing who's who and who's new to us, getting that enrollment for the processing team. They then have another 14 business days to process their authorizations and get everything in place. And like Yvette was saying, it would be retroactive to the first of the month for enrolled members. We then assign our case managers and our case management team as soon as we can on that. We then have 90 days to outreach members to make those calls and reach out for introductions and assistance as well. So just giving a kind of an overview of the timeline and what that looks like. As you know, it's always a busy time, but we definitely want to reach out as quickly as we can. But there's way more members than there are case managers. That is not an excuse. We will definitely try to catch everybody as we can and assist as best way possible. I've appreciated the questions in the chat. I've been trying to yam along with them, or at least get them as I can. Does anybody ha else have any other questions?
If you want, I think you can unmute yourself and just ask really quick. We can take a, probably 5 or 10 minutes if you have any questions. Sometimes your questions help the group. And I think you guys can unmute yourself down at the bottom. Very quiet group.
Crickets.
Crickets, I know. Okay.
I just wanted to see if I could share a really great tool that will be helpful for those of you who may be considering.
I had a question. I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead.
Hi, go ahead, Belinda.
I just realized I could unmute it. You mentioned something about the food delivery. If you have a participant, my daughter, who really needs to lose the weight. She has a heart condition. She's diabetic. There's a lot of other issues. Is that something that she would be able to, or we would be able to go in and try to look for to qualify for that to kind of help
Yeah,
with
we would
that?
need to know her. We'd need to know her coverage. So you would need to call in and reach out to her case manager,
Okay.
to be able to coordinate that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
For sure.
Yeah. So really quick, I wanted to show you all our website. We're going to be revamping it. So just know that it might look prettier than what I'm going to show you today. Just okay. So this is our website, and I did put the website address in the chat. But here's where you can go and kind of look around if you're not already with Melina, or if you are with Melina, to see what kind of benefits we have. We have a lot of really great information. If you want to make sure you're looking at Idaho stuff, you just, look up here. There's Idaho. You can also, if you need it in a different language, change that. You can change the font. And then here's all the options that we have. We have how to become a member. So it's going to go in for over information on the different plans. And then once you are a member, you can look at the specific plan that you have, or, just kind of check out one that you might want. And then over here, this bright purple box is if you're a member and you want to access your specific information. And correct me if I'm wrong, Anna, they can also write notes to their care coordinators or care managers if need be, once they're logged into the member portal?
You can, but we cannot reply back. So it's best to call.
Okay.
All right. It's not a two-way conversation yet.
It's like good to know. So, you know, but there is access to your member portal. So it'll go into the specifics on the plan that you are enrolled in. And then here along the side, we have different information available, everything from your benefits and services to the different member materials, and some of our healthy programs and so on, health and wellness. You can also access all of those through these icons over here. If you want to look up and see if one of your providers or your prescriptions is in network, you can also click here. That'll take you there. But it, again, if you're already a member with us, you are more than welcome to give us a call. We love getting calls from you all and helping answer questions. So that is that. And like I said, yeah.
Hey, just did also want to interject that I know that texting is, you know, well, popular, right? Mm-hmm. We can't legally text with anybody. We can make phone calls and we can send one-way emails with resources and information, right? We're not going to convey anything that has to do with the member information at all in an email. And that's why we can't then text, because of the legal ramifications, because texting just is not a safe way to communicate. Yeah. So phones and mail.
That's a very good point. I mean, even in the hospitals, they don't text. It's all either email or secure chat. So good point about texting. That was amazing. Thank you. I learned a ton of stuff, and Yvette, I see you put in a ton of information in the chat, which is awesome. I've been trying to download it, so it will be included in the certificate. So when you get your certificate, I have a feeling it's going to be long. It'll be probably a two-pager because there's a lot of information we're sharing today. And so I hope you all are finding this very useful information. If you have any questions, please, you can still use the chat. And at the end, I usually will save the chat so I can make sure I can address everybody at the end. But thank you so much for that that information. There is a lot going on with Idaho and Idaho legislation around healthcare, and so any information we get like this is, I think, beneficial. So,
hi Kim. I checked with Yvette and I downloaded those documents, and I'll post them on the Smart Workshop website as well, along with the
Patrick,
chat.
You're worth $1 million. If I could, I would. $1 million for you. Thank you so much.
We can get the slides as well. Those two slide sets would be useful as well.
Okay. So, and I'll address that here in 2 seconds. I'll even jump to it. Let me see if I can get to it. Let me just share. Let's see if I can get to that page really quick. Down here, I think it'll let me do it. Yeah, so, whoops. Hang on, sorry. I'm trying to get to the right screen, but it'll get there eventually. We're going to talk about advanced care directives here pretty soon. But yeah, so this is the screen I wanted. There's past videos there if you want to visit a past workshop. And the QR code will be as well on the certificate. So you can just go there, but you can just go visit the website. And Patrick has done such a great job putting some of those older smart workshops with the resources, and we're continually getting better. So hopefully you won't give up on the website too fast, because it's really my fault, not anybody else's. I do want to talk about really quick about advanced care directives. I know a lot of people are familiar with advanced care directives. I just want to kind of review them, regardless if it's your advanced care directive or if you're actually the advocate for, and you're the advocate for somebody's advanced care directive. So we're going to go over that pretty quickly, but I just kind of wanted to share some things that I found are useful, especially when talking about it in my line of work. So hang on a second, I'm going to share this really quick, I think. Here we go. I think everybody can see that. Okay, so the Idaho Advanced Care Directive is often referred as a living will. They're kind of one and the same. And I think as we've been hearing it more and more, we're understanding there is a will that you have an attorney for, and then there's a living will, which is really a health care directive. And we're going to kind of go over some of that. There are three parts to the Idaho Advanced Care Directive. When you talk to different people, it gets very confusing. Some people think it's a DNR, which it is not. It has the three parts. One is the durable power of attorney for health care. There's the living will part of it. And then the Idaho Post, which is a DNR, it is a physician's order of scope for treatment. And we'll kind of go over all three of those. You need to have this done before you have a healthcare crisis. I do a lot of transitional care right now out of the hospitals. And oftentimes the power of attorney did not even know that they were the power of attorney, or they get signed up at the hospital as power of attorney because they're a friend or they're somebody who's coming in to help and they have nobody else. So having this put in place and having this conversation before you have a healthcare crisis, doesn't matter how old or young you are, because we all will have a healthcare crisis at some point, even if it's just like a car accident or, you know, who knows what it could be. And then we're going to talk about when it's used and what it covers. We're also going to understand what durable power of attorney means and where to find the document. So the Idaho Durable Power of Attorney for Healthcare is really only in power when you are unable to speak for yourself. That means you maybe are intubated, or you are, maybe you're so drowsy, you don't really know what's going on. You're not really cognitive. You're unable to really make any decisions for yourself. That is the only time that really the Durable Power of Attorney for Healthcare has true power. There are times where you are an advocate for the patient when they can speak for themselves, and it's just a partnership, which is even more powerful. So if you have, for example, you have some medical documents that you need to go over or need to, and you're maybe unable to sign, your power of attorney can sign on your behalf. And I mentioned this earlier, but you really do need to let your healthcare agent know that they are the healthcare agent. And you need to have that conversation, or at least have them be able to know you well enough, and that you can discuss what you really want. And so, you know, a lot of us, as we get older, we don't want to be a burden. We don't want to go to the hospital any longer. We don't want to go to an assisted living. We want to, you know, live and die in our homes. Those values and wishes can be indicated through your healthcare agent. I do want to have a side note on this. If you are a healthcare agent for somebody, and I'm seeing this now more and more, it's hard for a healthcare agent to truly carry out your wishes if you're unable to be safe. And that really means, like, let's say you are unable to go back to your home, even though you really want to, but maybe there's, and this will happen a lot, the financial aspect, you can't get personal care services in because it's very expensive. Or you might have to go to a nursing home because that's where you're going to get the best care. And if you are the healthcare agent, you you're acting on their best behalf, but don't give yourself some grace when you can't truly fulfill what they said they really wanted as their wishes. So I just give that as a little caveat on the side. It's hard sometimes to be a healthcare agent when you're making very difficult decisions to help keep your person safe. And sometimes it's not what they want, but that you can give them options and you're doing it. Just know that you're doing it on their best behalf. The durable part of the attorney for healthcare means that it is only durable. It's only active when the person is alive. You're really only speaking while the person is alive but can't speak for themselves. And in that case, if they do pass, it ceases to be effective. It doesn't mean you have legal over their finances or anything else. You really, truly, for durable power of attorney for healthcare on this advanced care directive is really just for healthcare. There is a little bit of room for if you have to do funeral arrangements for them, you can act on your on their behalf for that. You're going to have to probably, but you're going to want to really try and not get too involved in their finances and everything like that. So it would be maybe good to know how they want their body to be, if they want a cremation, or, you know, if they want a funeral. And it's hard having these conversations in the beginning, but if you're the person that has to take care of it in the end, it can be very, very stressful. And I'll give you an example. I was a healthcare attorney for a woman who had no other family or really any friends close by. And this was in 2020 when COVID hit, and she was one of the first of a COVID recipient. And she got intubated, and I became her durable power attorney for healthcare, and she passed. And there wasn't anything in place for what she wanted. I knew she wanted to be cremated, but there wasn't any funds for it. So I had to really act quickly in order to access her her bank account to pay for the cremation. Otherwise, I would have had to pay for it myself, or would have just, she would have gone to the state. That was a big eye opening for me. Like, you really do need to talk about what you want done with your body after you pass and make sure that you have funds or at least some kinds of plans for that as a gift, actually, to your family and to your power attorney. But just remember that once that person passes, it's no longer effective. So who should be your durable power of attorney? You want a person who knows you well. You want a person you can trust and is strong enough to advocate for you. So if you're making healthcare decisions, I would not recommend having somebody who doesn't know anything about your health or anything about what your wishes are. And so what I've done is, my husband doesn't really know very much about healthcare, but I do have a backup advocate for him so that he can reach out to that person. Then that person could act on my behalf, but it's also as a team for him, as a support for him if something should happen. And you want to make sure that that person is capable and able to communicate as well. So that seems pretty obvious, but you also want to make sure that they can be accessible. So maybe you have somebody who you can't reach all the time because of certain circumstances, and maybe they're working and they have to be contacted like at midnight or something. I mean, you wouldn't think it would happen, but it does happen. So you want to make sure that that person is able to communicate and able to act on your behalf. And they have to be willing. So you do have to ask that person. And I kind of duplicated, but yes, make sure that person can be reached by phone or in person. And it's nice to have somebody who's actually local. And you want to probably have a secondary in case your primary agent is not able to be reached. And so you probably want to have a backup agent. I'm kind of going fast and I can't really see the chat, so I'm hoping if anybody has any questions, I'll look at them at the end here. The living will part of the advanced care directive. So we've talked about who you want to speak on your behalf. The living will part, which is really kind of the main part, is actually voicing what your wishes are. And these are voices that when you can no longer speak for yourself. So they're usually life-sustaining medical treatments. So intubation or feeding tubes or hydration or antibiotics or blood, things that will be done in an emergency. These are the choices that you can make. And it is a legal document. It doesn't need to be signed by a lawyer, but it just helps the medical team, the whole care team, know kind of what your wishes would be. And then if you're in a situation where you can't speak for yourself, they will consult your living will and with your healthcare agents. So, like, it is a team, but they'll also, as you start going to doctor's office, they will ask you, do you have a living will? And then if it's registered with this within the state, which we'll cover here in a minute, they can access that now through the state of Idaho's register. The living will, I just want to note, is means that you are alive or living. It does not mean you're dead. Just clarifying. So the living will goes into, if you can't speak for yourself, it's also if you have an uncure, so you can't speak for yourself and you have to have an incurable injury or disease or illness or condition that a medical doctor has identified. So it's really life-saving and what you want to have done to save your life. That could be anything like from an injury. And then we talked about artificial life sustaining. And it is really only if it's going to, another thing is like if you're going to need to prolong artificial life. So again, being on a ventilator or anything like that. And that if you're not on the ventilator, then your death is imminent. Like you are going to pass if it doesn't happen. And then the other one too is if you don't pass is, or if they do put you on artificial life sustaining things, would it make you into a persistent vegetative state? Vegetative state. So you want this, these are like really heavy duty informational like moments when you're going to have to make those decisions. So I'll go back to my lady who they did intubate her and she was on it for 2 weeks. So that what happens when you get intubated is they try to take you off of this life-sustaining procedure, and she wasn't tolerating it very well. And after 2 weeks, the doctor did call me and they said, she'll have to be in this vegetative state for a very long time. Do you want to continue having her be on a ventilator, or do you want to have her come off and then she can pass naturally? And that's a hard question to answer for somebody that you care about. And I did make the decision that I knew she did not want to be in a persistent vegetative state. The doctor did say that if she did survive it, coming off of life sustaining, or if the longer she was on life sustaining, that would be the rehab would be really, really long and hard. And she didn't have that will when she was feeling fine. So I just said, let's see what happens. And, you know, she passed within the day. And then there's the Idaho Post, and this is a DNR, and this is an actual medical, order, prescription whatever you want to call it, from a doctor saying that you've gone over what, if you are in an accident and they need to do CPR on you, you don't want that. And the doctor will go over most of that with you. It's probably for somebody who has maybe a terminal illness or is older and just does not want to be resuscitated. And that is like, you know, with the paddles. And the only time that, if you do an Idaho Post and you really are very serious about it, you want to keep it with you. Because in the case of maybe you're out shopping and you have a heart attack and you've had cardiac issues and you don't want to be resuscitated, if the paramedics come, they will resuscitate you and take you to the hospital until they find out for sure that you have an Idaho Post. That's why when people are in hospice, we talk about, do you want to be resuscitated? And that's why we put the post out in the open so that in case you have a cardiac arrest and your family members are panicking because they love you and they don't know what to do and they call 911 and 911 comes out there and they want to do CPR, but then they realize, no, you have an Idaho Post and that you're on hospice, then they will call the hospice team and we walk you through that kind of situation. So I'm going to, let me see where if I have it on my notes here. I want to kind of show you how to get to the Idaho Post. And I am I'm going to stop sharing and I'm just going to check in here. It does not need to, Living Will does not need to be signed by an attorney. You can if you want, but you don't have to have it signed by an attorney. I'm going to, let me see if I can get this. I'm going to share again, but I want to get to my, hold on. Because I want to show you how I get there, even though I'm not doing a really great job right now. Let's see. Okay, 1 second. I'm getting there. All right, here we go. So I'm taking you to my Google screen right here. And I'm just going to show you, all you do is you type in Idaho Healthcare Directive Registry, and it will take you to the Idaho Healthcare Directory Registry. And you click on that and it takes you to this page, Advanced Care Planning. And you can explore all over in here exactly what it is that you feel like you need. You can create or upload one. You can email if you have questions. There's a phone call you can go to. And there's also, let's see if I can find it here. There is a place that you can download an advanced care directive form so you can actually see what it looks like before you go in and do it online. And so that's what I'm going to do here is I'm downloading what it looks like when you go to the website. And I'm going to go all the way up to the top. So the first part is where do you want it stored? Do you want it stored on the registry or are you replacing a previous one that you've already registered or have done? Or do you want to revoke what you have done in the registry? You want to get rid of it. They will always look at the latest advanced care directive that you have. It will be the most current. So whatever they can find, that's why it's important that you date it. So really here, you're just registering who you are. And then you are going to register if this is okay. So sometimes I will register somebody on their behalf because they're unable to maybe write or unable to actually access the web. Or sometimes they're just, it's just too overwhelming. So I'll go over it with them and then I would put my name in there for them. So here is where you want your durable power of attorney for healthcare. This is your advocate. So you're going to type in the name, the phone number, the address. And this is the part where you want to make sure that they have your consent, that you've talked to them about it, that or you can change, you can also change your designated agent at this place too. So if you change your mind or somebody, if something changes, it might be that you had your son do it and then they moved away. So then you're going to have your other daughter do it or something. So then you're going to put in the healthcare agent, their relationship, the phone number and the address. And then this becomes your, like your new updated agent. And then you can put your alternate agent. So like if you changed it, then you can just change your agents around, or you can have a backup one, or, you know, you can do whatever you want on this as far as the second agent. And then you have a third one if you have another one that you want to place in there. So there is room for three total on this. And this kind of just talks about what their scope is. And one of the things is that it cannot be, your agent cannot be a doctor or somebody who is providing care for you, a non-relative employee of a treating healthcare provider. So if they're related to you, that's great. But if they're not, so you can't ask maybe one of their MAs or something like that to be your advocate. An operator of a community care facility. So if you're in an assisted living or if you're in a nursing home, you can't ask them to be an advocate for you. And a non-relative employee of the operating part of it, of the community. So they may not be directly related, or they may be even your person, your aide that comes. You can't ask them to be part of your agent. And then here's where you grant that you give full authority to make healthcare decisions in the extent that you can't speak for yourself. And the kind of the rules and everything about what they have, what the power they have, they can request and review your medical records, so they can make good decisions on your behalf. They can execute releasing some of your documents if that's going to help you on your behalf. And that would be even as far as like a death, you can release a death certificate to the funeral home. And so this really, really just tells, and then there's a consent to donate any of the organs if you want. And that, we'll talk about that later. There's the HIPAA release information, which everybody, it's kind of the same everywhere you go. It's keeping your information private. And then if you have any special information or anything that you want to add on there, it might even be something like where your pet wants to go. Maybe you have a dog or a cat that you really care about. You can put little information in there on just how to, some things that you might worry about if you couldn't speak for yourself. It might be it can be anything, but if you just think, if I can't speak for myself, what is the most important thing? What would I be screaming out? Like, don't forget to feed my dog, or, you know, something like that. Or please call both advocates, anything like that. Or, you know, in my living will before my kids were older now and they live close by, I wanted to be put on life sustaining measures because if I was going to pass away, I did not want them to see me cold and dead, I wanted them at least to see my body was still alive so they could say goodbye if they wanted. And it was up to them if they wanted to or not. They had the final call. But I did put that in my will because I wanted that to be clear that they were supposed to ask my kids what they wanted done. Okay, this is the one that's kind of the trickiest. I feel like people get a little bit hung up on this, but if my death is imminent, I do not want any life-sustaining medical treatment or procedures done. This would mean any artificial nutrition, any hydration, antibiotics, blood. This means that you're imminent, that you are, and the doctor says there's, you know, really nothing more we can do. We can just let her pass, you know, naturally. Then you would check this box. If your death is imminent and you do not want artificial sustaining medical treatment, except for some people want hydration. They feel like that is going to give them comfort measures. Some people want nutrition, and then some want both. And that's something you would really want to talk to your doctor about when you are imminent and passing. The rule of thumb is really your body doesn't know how to process any kind of liquids or nutrition. So it's kind of unnecessary, but a lot of people feel very strongly that, yes, I do want that. And then if your death is imminent and you want every procedure done because you feel like you could pull through no matter what, and you have the will to, and you don't care if you are in a vegetative state or even, you know, I don't know, paralyzed or anything like that, you want that done, that you would mark that on your living will. And I think it's important that you do mark what you want, because that's something that they will have to go over, your agent will have to go over with you. I'm just going to look and see what's in the chat here. If you do, there was a question here. If you do already have an advanced care directive, how do you get them on the registry? I would just go back and I would just submit a new one. It'll just be cleaner, and just put at the very top here, it talks about, again, like you're wanting to replace it right here. You're replacing a previous registered advanced care directive. And even if it's not quote unquote registered, you just want to say there is one out there, but you just want to update it maybe. All right, let me just go down. This is one, if you're younger and you are pregnant, this is a huge deal as right now across the state. I don't think anybody's here. I would talk to your doctor if you're of age of pregnancy. This is a very important conversation to have with your doctor to figure out how you want to word that. And then this is also if you've had the conversation with your physician about a DNR, a post, then I would mark on here yes or no. That helps medical people when they're in a hurry trying to figure out what to do for you, to know, yes, you do have a DNR, or no, you do not. Because if you do have a DNR, they will try and find it. And or hopefully, if you do have a DNR, your healthcare agent will have a copy of it as well. Then you sign it and you date it. And then you go, let me see if I can get back there. So this is where you would download it and save it. And then you can go back to your healthcare directory and, oh, that's not going to help me at all, is it? Hang on. Here we go. And then, well, that's the form. You could fill that out and then you're going to actually do it online. And when you do it online, you're going to upload it online. There's directions in here. There are some questions. If you have any questions, they can. There's places that you can go for questions. Here's the one about the pregnancy. I think that's, for the most part, I feel like this is a pretty simple, easy place for you to go to really review and go over your healthcare directive. So does anybody have any questions? I'm really bad at presenting. I kind of just talk from my heart and stumble around, but for the most part, I think I got the message across. But if anybody has any questions, please feel free to yell at me. Nobody. You guys are crickets for the most part. Okay. So we're kind of ending a little bit early. I'm going to just share the end because I do have some announcements to make on. Upcoming events. We talked about the website, so please feel free to visit the website. Patrick's been doing such a great job on this. The QR code will be also on the certificate, so you can just put your phone up there and click right to it. Oh, I need to say who was going to be the winning person, and it was Cheryl Pollan is the winner. So Cheryl, if you don't mind, you can just chat to me directly and I'll get your information. I might have your information already, but congratulations, you won the gift certificate, and that will be mailed to you. And then the certificates obviously will be emailed to you. It takes me a while to get them done, but I hope to get them done as soon as I can. So there are a couple things that are coming up. We are going to do an in-person SMART workshop. It is going to be at St. Alphonsus Medical Center in Boise. I'm very excited about this one. It is caregiver focused and caregiver care. And there's a lot of really good tidbits on when you're feeling overwhelmed. Here's some things you can do. Giving yourself some grace and knowing when to give yourself grace, how to step out of the to-do list to finding some joy in the moment. I'm very excited for this panel that's going to be coming out. And so again, it'll be in person with the caregiver focus. I've been to a couple of their panels and it was really good. One of them, I think I sent out with the announcement for the SMART workshop, was the film Taking Care. It was beautifully done. I'm hoping we might be able to actually have a showing in the in-person one with the showing of what it's like to be a caregiver for somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia with some behaviors. And it was very, very well done. Also, David Wilson and his partner are doing an update on VA benefits, Medicaid eligibility, and problem cases. It is free unless you want some CEU credits, and then it's $20. I highly recommend you go. This will be on the certificate, so you can register. I'm going to be there. I think it'll be really powerful to kind of keep up with that, especially if you're looking for Medicaid eligibility things. Even if you're planning estate planning or trust, these two guys are amazing. And lunch is provided, so you can't lose there. Conversation on respite care is at the Cathedral of the Rockies. This is part of the panel that we'll be talking also in August 15th, but they have a special panel conversation at the Cathedral of the Rockies on the 27th of April. If you would like to join that, you can go to that. And I think that, well, obviously, I used my slides from last time. Let's just go back. Because we're not in the winter time anymore, but Thank you guys so much for coming. If you have any questions or concerns, please put it in the chat. And I will hopefully see you in August. There may be a really quick workshop in between between these ones. And just let me know if there's anything you would like me to add to the agenda. So yes, happy holidays, Sherry. That was hilarious. Thank you. So I appreciate you all. Feel free to reach out anytime. And with that, go have some lunch. We'll see everybody later. Bye-bye.